we're checking in on Foxconn on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In June 2018, at Foxconn's groundbreaking ceremony...
This is the eighth wonder of the world, but this is something so special. So I want to just congratulate you all. You're very special people and a very special state. Thank you very much. Thank you to Scott Walker.
President Trump declared the electronics manufacturing plant would employ 13,000 people, a $10 billion investment in Mount Pleasant. Earlier this month, Wisconsin denied Foxconn tax subsidies for failing to meet its contract obligations. What questions do you have about Foxconn's presence in Wisconsin? Do you work for Foxconn now or in the past? Tell us the experience, 800-642-1234. Josh Jezza is an investigative editor and feature writer at The Verge, covering technology, business, and climate change. His most recent reporting is on Foxconn. Josh, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation this month denied Foxconn tax subsidies after it failed to create enough jobs and other things. Can you explain what disagreement you've been seeing between Foxconn and the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, so the primary reason that they denied Foxconn the subsidies was because Foxconn is not building the type of factory that's specified in the contract. As you mentioned, it was supposed to build a large LCD manufacturing facility that would employ 13,000 people. That's a specific type of facility called a Gen 10.5. Even at the time of the groundbreaking, Foxconn was saying that it's actually going to build a far smaller facility, a Gen 6. It's about 1/20th the size of the factory it promised. And for about a year and a half, the state has been telling Foxconn that it's not building what it promised and the contract needs to be revised. Foxconn has generally refused to revise that contract. And so earlier this month, WDC rejected Foxconn's subsidy proposal. It also found in that rejection that Foxconn had failed to employ anywhere near the number of people it would need to receive subsidies had it been building what it said it would build.
How far short was Foxconn in the hiring?
So it had to employ a minimum of 520 people. It was supposed to employ a little over 2,000. WDC found that it employed 281 people eligible under the contract.
And did you find that there was uneven ramping up of employment and then letting go of employees toward the end of the year?
I did. So both in 2018 and 2019, employees say and Foxconn's subsidy application show in a later document I obtained from the Department of Administration shows Foxconn really aggressively tried to hire enough people at the very end of the year before the subsidy deadline. A lot of these people were hired without clear roles, and many of them ended up just sitting around in the office with nothing to do. And then beginning early this year after the deadline passed, Foxconn began letting people go.
That's interesting. And so you saw that pattern there. Has Foxconn said anything about that?
Foxconn denied that it has hired people specifically to meet the subsidy quota, but the numbers are pretty clear. In the last Foxconn's headcount at the end of 2019, 60% of the people it claimed to employ were hired in the last 2 months, somewhere around 80 in the last 2 weeks. It was a very definite acceleration in its hiring at the very end of the year.
We're talking with Josh Jezza, who's an investigative editor at The Verge. He's been reporting on the status of Foxconn in Wisconsin. Taking your questions, do you work for Foxconn? Are you working at the Mount Pleasant facility? Tell us your experience. Did you work for Foxconn in the past? What was your job like and why did you leave? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. In your reporting, you interviewed 19 employees, dozens of others involved with Foxconn. You looked at public documents. What kinds of jobs did employees hired to work for Foxconn? What did they do?
That's a good question. What they ended up doing often bared little relation to what they were hired to do. So, people were hired to be recruiters or HR or business development, engineers. A lot of them ended up searching for something for Foxconn to do. It was apparent pretty quickly, as early as 2018, that the company didn't really have a plan for what to do in Wisconsin. And so employees at every level were asked to come up with a business plan. A customer in Wisconsin that would use Foxconn as a contract manufacturer, ideas that got progressively farther and farther from Foxconn's core business, like sort of a WeWork-inspired co-working operation, an aquaponic fish farm at one point, a series of business ventures that were not really the manufacturing project that Foxconn was supposed to be doing, and almost all of which ended up failing anyway.
Yeah, early on in the pandemic, we even heard that Foxconn was trying to start manufacturing ventilators with Medtronic. Did anything come of that venture?
I've been unable to confirm whether any ventilators have been produced. Neither Foxconn nor Medtronic responded to my questions. Employees weren't aware of any, officials that I spoke with weren't aware of any ventilators being produced. So it's possible they're working towards that, but I have not been able to confirm it.
With the employees you or former employees you talked with, what was their experience like working for the company? What was the environment like?
It was overwhelmingly negative. A lot of them were quite excited about the Foxconn promise, the idea of a high-tech manufacturing resurgence in Wisconsin, and were quite disappointed to discover there was no real corporate support for that plan. As time went on, the atmosphere at Foxconn became what multiple employees described as toxic, a general disrespect for the American workforce, a lot of yelling by supervisors, public humiliation of employees. It was not a good experience. It was disappointing and frustrating, were words
Employees
that a lot of people used.
having to watch the Netflix documentary American Factory.
Yes, at one point, an executive mandated everyone watch the documentary American Factory, which, if you're not familiar, is about a Chinese automotive glass company that tries to start an operation in
Ohio,
Ohio.
yeah.
And it founders and its culture clashes. American management is eventually laid off. The union push broken, and Chinese management brought in. Workers found it to be alarmingly similar to what was happening at Foxconn.
Do we know anything like what workload was like there for these employees? Like what their day entailed?
It really varied, at various points, and depending on sort of the time of year they were hired. Some employees had very little to do. They watched a lot of Netflix, took walks, things like that, if they'd been hired in one of those end of the year pushes without a clear role. Other employees were pushed to work very long hours. So particularly Foxconn had one program during that subsidy quota push that recruited foreign students on visas who would need sponsorship. Employees say it was a deliberate program because there was a sense they would work for less and be willing to relocate.
We're pausing there with Josh Jezza. We'll be back in just a moment on the Ideas Network. We're talking about Foxconn's presence in Wisconsin here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. So Foxconn is a supply chain partner of Apple and has assembled many of the world's iPhones, but not here in Wisconsin. The sprawling factory complex for LCD screens slated for Mount Pleasant has not come to fruition. But about 7,000 miles from Wisconsin, Foxconn is on a hiring blitz at its iPhone factory in Zhengzhou, processing about 2,000 applications a day. That's according to the South China Morning Post this month. What do you want to see out of Wisconsin's deal with Foxconn? What do you want to know? Join in 800-642-1234. The Verge's investigations editor, Josh Jezza, has been reporting on Foxconn, and he's our guide. Let's take a call now. Jeff is joining us from Jefferson. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I know it sounds weird, Jeff from Jefferson. my friends always say that to me. I'm calling because I'm really confused by what's going on with this. The Foxconn questions all the time, and it makes it just, it sounds like the press and everybody are really down on an organization that's not as successful as they think they should be. And the main thing I'm thinking is when our governor was running for office, it was talked about how horrible Foxconn was and the fact that this Wisconsin Economic Development was giving them money. And now suddenly I'm hearing they haven't taken any money whatsoever. And it seems like we're really, just because a business isn't as successful as they'd want to be, making them feel bad. I mean, do we attack other businesses like this? Harley closed down plants at places. Do we go after Harley Davidson or restaurants that can't stay in business during this horrible pandemic? Then these people that are trying to run businesses.
Jeff, thank you. Yeah. Are we being too critical here on Foxconn, Josh? What do you say?
So that's a good question. And I think an important point to remember is that the subsidies that were denied were one part of the subsidy package. The state and local governments have spent significant amounts of money preparing the way for the factory Foxconn said it would make. So it's at least $400 million, a lot of that in road expansion, water infrastructure,
roads,
things
plumbing,
like that.
Roads, plumbing, all of the guys, capital and infrastructure are around that area, I would assume, in the land usage.
That's right. Yeah. And in addition to that, about, you know, 80 homes were bulldozed. People were relocated to make way for this giant factory complex that Foxconn had no real plan to make. So there have been costs, even if the subsidy payments have been denied.
Have there been any reimbursements at all to that $400 million that has been spent on infrastructure? What is the status in Racine County and Mount Pleasant in particular?
So Foxconn has been making payments that it pays property taxes in Mount Pleasant, and it has been making those payments as it should. And it's important to note that Mount Pleasant is protected to a degree with its contract with Foxconn. Foxconn has to continue to pay as if it had built the factory complex that had planned. How long Foxconn will do that, whether what will happen if Foxconn does pull out is unclear, but so far Foxconn has complied with that contract.
Josh, could you give us a visual, if you would, of the Mount Pleasant complex? What has been built? What do the buildings look like? What can we see?
Yeah, so they have built their first building is a sort of warehouse-like structure called the multi-purpose building. It was empty for a while. It is sometimes used for some small manufacturing when they have something running. They were making coffee vending machines there for a while. And then you have the so-called fab, which is what was supposed to be the LCD factory that was then the smaller LCD factory and is now a building about 1 million square feet. It's unclear what it will be used for. It was recently permitted for storage. It's possible Foxconn will do some kind of last stage assembly there, but it's not on track to be an LCD manufacturing facility. According to a government report, it is more like a display demonstration facility than a viable LCD manufacturing business. And then you have the Sphere, which Foxconn had originally planned to be the network operation center for a series of data centers. It did not build the data centers and it's unclear what the sphere will be used for, potentially office and meeting space. And then another building under construction, a smaller manufacturing facility by a Foxconn subsidiary that might make circuit boards and servers at some point.
Oh, like a feeder supply chain type organization?
Yeah, it's they call it the Smart Manufacturing Center.
Okay.
The estimate I saw is that it might employ, 200 to 500 people when it's running. It would make servers and things like that.
We're talking with Josh Jezza, who's an investigations editor at The Verge. He's been reporting lately on Foxconn in Wisconsin, taking your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Karen now in Madison. Hi, Karen.
Hi, good morning. My question really is, before Foxconn was permitted to do this legal document with the state through the governor, there was criticism of the company, and I guess what my question is, were there red flags as looking back over this particular Foxconn business and their and how they do business with other companies? And I understand their labor practices were particularly overbearing and not respectful of workers, and so I'm wondering how much red flags did we have before this?
Mm-hmm. Did we know about this Taiwanese contract manufacturer before entering into this contract?
There were a lot of red flags. Experts said that there was a glut coming in the LCD industry that was foreseeable at the time. There were additional issues, higher labor costs, the lack of a local supply chain. Suppliers would need to relocate as well, likely with additional incentives for the factory Foxconn was proposing to work. And margins on the industry are already very thin. And so there were experts raising red flags that the thing Foxconn was promising was not likely to be a viable business. And in addition to that, Foxconn has made a lot of promises about big factories that haven't appeared. So in Brazil and Pennsylvania and Indonesia, other places, they've promised big complexes like this. They've fallen short or never appeared at all. And then, as you mentioned, a lot of people first became aware of Foxconn in the West because of the 2010 suicides at its facilities in China.
Yeah.
People were jumping off buildings, and Foxconn, in response, put up nets beneath the warehouses.
Let's bring in Regina now from Kenosha. Hi, Regina.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. What is your situation with Foxconn?
I'm actually driving by the facility right now. It borders on our family farm. Luckily, we're on the other side of the freeway, so our farm didn't get demolished. It made me angry that so many people lost family farms, relocated to somewhere because our beloved leader flew over and saw farmland as empty, vacant land. It's not right. And now with all the promises being broken, with us knowing, as the last gentleman spoke out, they've not made good on their promises anywhere. I worry about groundwater contamination. Not a good situation here.
Regina, thank you for sharing what you're seeing and for your family situation that you shared. Josh, what are the environmental implications of Foxconn?
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that. There were a lot of concerns about the environmental impact of LCD manufacturing. It uses a lot of water. If there's a silver lining to all this, it's that a lot of those concerns appear unlikely to materialize because Foxconn's not on track to make LCDs. I'm not sure. I haven't really heard about concerns with, the small scale type assembly that it's doing now. So I'm not really sure what the environmental impacts of that would be, but the groundwater contamination and other effects, potential effects of LCD manufacturing appear at this time unlikely to happen.
So at this point, what are you watching for out of Foxconn in Wisconsin?
I'm really unsure what the company is going to do. Terry Goh, the founder, issued a statement after the story saying that Foxconn would, I'm paraphrasing, but be a partner to places that were a good partner to Foxconn and be committed to Wisconsin if Wisconsin was committed to Foxconn. You know, it mentions working closely with Trump several times. It's unclear to me what the company will do after the election, depending on how that goes, whether it stays or runs a small-scale manufacturing operation or leaves. I don't know.
Josh, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Josh Jezza is an investigations editor and feature writer at The Verge, covering Foxconn most recently. Coming up, we continue our series of Canada conversations with U.S. Representative Gwen Moore. That's after a news update on the Ideas Network.